traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Mood was probably one of the most, like, tumultuous, challenging periods in my life, because this thing of getting a number one song, right? There's artists that have worked decades and have huge songs and huge careers that never got a number one. And here I am at 19 getting it off playing a Call of Duty game. So I'm like, well, what does this mean? Like, what do I do now, you know?
Danny texted George in the group chat, said, George, are you coming to the podcast today? That starts right now. Just curious. Once again, George is late, but regardless, welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, and subscribing. It's 2 p.m. Our guest is here on time before George, who is, I don't know, he's a big shot now. He just shows up whenever he pleases.
He just knows that we can't say anything bad. He knows we're up against the wall when it comes to the audience, so we can't say, all we can say is, gee, we hope he sure shows up. We sure do love that guy.
We love both.
Yeah.
How your Instagram DMs going? I noticed you have a new strategy that I like.
What is it?
It's the buckshot.
What is it?
Just send as many as possible.
That's not true.
Quantity over quality.
That's not true.
See what sticks.
Where did you get that?
You use the verbiage buckshot.
Spray and pray. I don't think it was regarding Instagram DMs. No, I haven't been sending that many. I've been getting a bunch. You've seen them.
Why is that, Mike?
Because so the thing with girls is they wait until... Like, dudes will DM a girl whenever. If she's in a relationship, they'll still DM. They don't give a fuck about your man. They don't care. But girls have this, like, at least some girls have a little bit of, like, female-to-female respect. Like, they'll wait until the girl's out the relationship, then they'll start sending the let's fuck DMs.
Okay. So what, now that you're single, you just...
I don't even know, bro. I'm going to be honest. I told you on the show I took a vow of celibacy for 2021.
You are lying through the skin of your teeth. You're a liar.
Yeah, baby.
I think girls like hearing that, though. It's a challenge.
That's why I'm doing it. Okay. 1,000% why I'm doing it.
All right. So I think we're just going to bring on the guest.
I think we have to. Nobody else to talk to.
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, our guest today is the artist behind the global number one smash hit Mood and has his debut album, El Dorado, dropping March 26th. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 24K Golden.
Wow. My guy.
What's up, brother?
Wow.
Normally we had one more set of hands clapping.
Where the fuck is
I don't know. Great kid.
What up, homie?
What's up, man? How you feeling today?
Good to see you, bro.
You too.
How are you feeling, Mike? I think that was directed towards
There's
you.
There's no way that you could... No, I'm all right. I'm good. I'm all right.
Bro, so listen, in doing some research for you for the show, I Googled your age.
Yeah.
Dog. Dog. You're born in 2000?
Yeah.
No, chill.
I'm a millennial baby, man.
No. I'm a millennial baby.
No, you're a millennial. I'm a millennial baby.
What's that mean?
Because I was born literally at the dawn of a new...
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Millennium.
Okay. Oh, literally, you're a millennial. Millennium. Yes. Okay. Wow.
This makes me so happy. Why? I always love when someone comes on the show that makes you seem old, because I'm always the old guy. And now somebody actually makes you seem a little bit outdated.
How old are you guys?
I'm a bit older. Okay. I will say this. I was 20 once.
Okay.
Yeah, I was 20
back
once.
Back in the 1800s.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cool. Right when the horse and buggy came out, bro.
Yeah, this dude broke an axle on the Oregon Trail.
On the Oregon Trail.
A little dysentery here and there.
Wow, yeah. He knows the references.
What's good, bro?
Why do you know that reference?
I'm a historian of culture.
Your man. Culture.
I'm a student of the game.
God dang, dude, with the dysentery reference, bro.
At that party the other night, that was everyone was wearing masks, obviously, and
six feet.
You came up to me from 6 feet away and said, "Hey, you dropped your pocket," like in passing, right?
Yeah.
And I had just said that to my boxing coach that day. And he, you know, he said, "You, my pocket." I go, "You can't fucking drop your pocket." So you said it to me. I go, "You can't fucking drop your pocket." And I never heard anyone say that reference before. So I guess, you know, in that degree, you are culture.
Yes. That's like one of those good ones that's like always going to work no matter like the time, the day, except unless you meet someone that already knows it. Like you.
Already knows. All right. So you grew up in San Francisco.
San Francisco, California. Proper. Yes.
California kid.
Yes.
So where's the swag come from, dude? You're 20 years old. And I said this to Ian, who's also on the show, just you're oozing. What's good? You're just born cool.
We oozing. I mean, you know, I think it's a little bit of nature and nurture combination. You know, like being my parents are really fucking cool. Like they modeled and stuff before they had me for like years. Not on no like Cindy Crawford level, but like to be a working model in like the 80s and 90s, you had to work a lot. So they were doing their thing. They was on the scene, and I guess some of that just dripped onto me. And I was fortunate enough to meet a lot of cool people growing up that kind of spilled some sauce.
I didn't know they had it like that in San Francisco. No offense, you know.
Like what?
Like I don't know, just like
you thought it was mostly like nerds, like Facebook companies.
Yeah,
Silicon Valley
like tech startup.
No, the Bay always goes hard, bro. Yeah,
I mean,
I think the Bay probably has more swag than LA.
Who are some other artists produced by the Bay?
I'm gonna fuck this up. E40. Thank God, dude. I had to be a little cautious without E40.
The Bay Area is historically underrated in music culture forever. And it's like,
I've heard this actually.
No, it's like, it's so hard for us to break out that ceiling. Like someone will take something that we do in the Bay Area and do it in a different place. And everyone will be like, "Oh my God, that's the craziest shit ever."
Yeah, yeah.
But we just keep getting our swag stolen. We're the originators of the swag, but LA, you know, just steals our swag all the time. You know, nothing we could do about that.
Well, they got you now. You're leading the pack, dude.
Yes.
And it's been super cool to see you blow up. Because usually the way it works is there's one song that goes crazy with the new artist and all of a sudden they're blowing up and you never had heard of them before and that was Mood for you. But then you had this resume built up of like also really good music and you continue to create.
Yeah.
So when did it all start? I'm fascinated by your youth. You made it all happen by the age of 20.
Yeah, I mean like... It depends how far back you want to go. You want to go when I was doing like Bruno Mars covers at lunchtime for girls in middle school?
Bring us back.
All right. So we'll go all the way back. Like middle school, I think, was when I first started like singing. Well, really like second grade. Like I remember asking my mom like, "Yo, can I do like a vocal lesson or something?" Because I was just the type of kid that always liked to like sing in the house, sing in the shower. And my parents never told me like, "Yo, shut the fuck up, like be quiet." So I never stopped doing it. And I guess with practice, you know, the more you do something, the better you get. So I just kept doing it and doing it. But like middle school was when I started being more of a performer because I did choir and I found out like, oh, I got a pretty nice voice. Like people like to hear it. So I would sing the covers at lunchtime for girls and stuff like that.
You would sing for girls at what age?
Probably like 10, 11.
Damn.
Yeah.
Frank Sinatra.
You always have the confidence?
Not always. I think I was always probably more confident than my peers, but it was still like a lot of it was more external than internal until like, you know, you grow up and you start to get feel so you start feeling yourself basically. Because I was like a short, chubby kid with a huge afro up until about like junior year of high school. And then I just went like, and then... figured out, my hair looks better when I wear it like this.
You had a glow up.
Yeah, I had a glow up for sure.
Got you. I'm always curious, like, when kids find a passion at a young age, whether it's like singing, dancing, writing, whatever it is, somewhere along, usually, I'll go ahead and say this, usually I feel like those passions die when they come into their teen years, adulthood, and you hear these stories about, you know, kids not being able to accomplish their dream and be the thing that they wanted to be when they were a kid. And I believe that it's partially because with singing, for example, that is a talent. Like you started singing, you enjoyed it, and then you found out you were good.
Yeah.
And were able to continue down that path at the highest degree.
Yeah.
There's a level of luck there.
Oh, 100%.
You believe that, you know, you were born with this thing and you're able to just make it stronger and better?
You read like the book like Outliers before?
I can't read.
All right, bet. Cool.
It's a classic. Is it a picture book?
Basically, it's close. It's basically just like saying like, yo,
a lot of the most successful people in the world, like, obviously there's a level of hard work and dedication that you have to be, and talent that you have to put into it. But a lot of stuff is things you can't control. Like, I didn't pick who my parents were. Like, if I was butt ugly, would I probably have had the same success? Probably not. You know, that's just one of those things that kind of is out of my control. But help me, I think me having this talent for singing and rapping is like a God-given thing. And I just was able to make the most out of it.
I'm so jealous, dude. I'm so
bro, look at your house. You're doing great.
What are you
great.
Talking what are you about? Yo, because here's why.
You have an Aston Martin out there, bro. You're good.
It's rented. It's Mike's.
Not even rented. Someone just dropped it off. They said, y'all have it for a while. I don't know when I'm supposed to give it back. One of the biggest things is identifying that talent.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of people out there who have something really special about them. You know, they might be a really good writer. They might be really good at photography, but they have trouble identifying it.
Mm-hmm.
You identified it and then parlayed the look, the image, and also used the right platforms to get where you're at, right? Yeah. Like, tell us about that journey a little bit.
I tried a lot of different shit as a kid. Like, as a kid, I was always an outside kid. Like, yeah, I like being in the house and playing video games and stuff. Like, I played a lot of video games, but I always just wanted to do something. Like, I wasn't the type to just watch TV all day or something. Like, I really wanted to do stuff. So I did like a Brazilian martial art, capoeira, for 7 years.
Oh,
I tried breakdancing. I tried robotics. I tried programming. I tried producing. I just tried so many different things. Like, I was a huge sneaker reseller back in the day too. And I think that plays a big part of my success too, being able to understand the business of shit, and how to market it.
Hustle.
So I kind of just stumbled into the artist thing because, like, my big bro, Paperboy, he was like always like, yo, you should make some music and get popping off at school. And one day I was like, all right, I do. And he had a studio above this sneaker store that was like a couple blocks away from my house. And I went there, I made the first song, and I just sent it to everyone at school. Like, I texted everybody the SoundCloud link. And when I came to school the next day, people were listening to it. And I'm like, oh, this is dope. And it kind of was like something clicked, and I'm like, oh, this kind of combines everything that I'm kind of good at or already love doing, like business, marketing, you know, singing, dancing, swag. Like, it was just everything in one. So I'm like, all right, fuck it, let's do it.
Damn, you understand. He understands that so innately. I talk about this on my journey all the time too, but like, trying things is so important, dude. Like, you gotta, I always tell people, if you have even like a slight interest in something, try it.
Yeah.
If you think pictures are cool, go buy a camera, take some pictures. If you think drones are cool, go fly a drone. If you think business is cool, start a little side hustle.
Yeah.
Because one day you find yourself in a spot like you are in where you're like, yo, if I move this piece here, move this piece here, I got something major.
Facts.
Yo. Got that so young, dude.
Crazy. I don't know. Shout out my parents. And like, I just had a lot of good like mentors and people to like make me realize, oh, you can literally do whatever you want. You just have to play your cards right and work really, really fucking hard.
Wow. Who are some of your mentors? Because you don't just make a like a hit song, and you don't just have this life experience, or unless you do. Like, I don't know, I've never done it, obviously. But you go in the studio and all of a sudden you got a banger.
Well, I mean, as much as I wish I could say like, yeah, I was working on this song for 2 years and constantly, you know, rearranging the lyrics. Mood was honestly a complete accident. Like, me and Ian. It was like the beginning of the pandemic. Me, Omer, who produced the song, we're just chilling and we're like, all right, we're bored. Let's go to Ian's house. KBZ, another really good friend of mine and producer, he pulled up too. And we're just chilling and playing Call of Duty. And literally Omer picks up one of Ian's guitars and he does the... and I just start singing, why are you always in the mood? Oh. Fucking around like a brand new... And Omer's like, stop. That's it. That's it right there. Like, go record that now. And I'm like, all right. And we're literally, me and Ian are playing Call of Duty gun game 2v2 while I'm doing that. And it all happens. And we just keep going and freestyling, not even thinking about it too hard. And then boom, number one song in the world. So I don't know. I can't take full credit. Like, I think a big part of creativity and stuff like that is being inspired by some higher power, collective consciousness or whatever it is. I was just able to tap in with that day.
That's wild.
I have goosebumps.
That's wild.
That's crazy.
And also another funny thing, I think Ian might have touched on this when he was on, but like, it's funny how your like zone of complete comfort playing Call of Duty, just kicking it with the homies, is what led to that inspiration and that idea. Because I think a lot of people get so tied up in the like day-to-day hustle and they don't find that boredom. They don't find that moment to like just create, get creative and just like fuck around.
Yeah.
And that's so important to the creative process. Is that how like the, a lot of your stuff like comes about, or?
All my best songs have been like just random, like melodies popping in my head. Like it's 2 a.m, I'm about to go to bed or whatever. And excuse me. And,
dude, I trust you. Yeah. We do it all the time, the whole show.
And like, I'll just like hear something, you know, like whatever it is. And I'll just grab my phone, voice memo it, send it to Omer. And then he'll be like, all right, this is fire. Like, nah, he was tripping on that one. And whatever is the fire stuff, we work on it. And it becomes something great that just started off as like a random inkling of inspiration, you know?
I find that really cool. Because I also know a lot of artists who are on the opposite end of the spectrum where they'll go and get their heart broken intentionally or end up in a relationship or put themselves in a fuck situation just to get some sort of inspiration.
Yeah.
How much of your music is coming from maybe that boredom is the word you used, or a more relaxed effort to make a song versus
pain, drama.
Yeah.
I think, you know, pain is something that everybody goes through. That's just part of the human experience. Me, I don't like it. I like to just be happy and carefree, you know, and I feel like that's where it comes from. But I think it's important to experience the downs so you appreciate the ups more 100%. And it does give you stuff to talk about, but I definitely don't try to put myself in those situations.
I get that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot more fun to be happy.
Yeah.
And yeah, stress-free. I just, I know for me, when I go through a breakup or shit's not going right for me, it's when I'm most inspired and most motivated. And you're young, man. So like, maybe you haven't had your heart broken.
Nah, not yet. Fingers crossed. It's going to come one day. Like,
man,
but
it sucks, man.
Well, I've had like my fair share of like middle school girlfriends breaking my heart and stuff like that. I just think that was so like strong and impactful to me. Like, yo, I could still pull from that place to this day. Cause like, yo, when your girl, you know, it's sixth grade and your girl breaks up with you at PE,
yeah,
and you see her the next day with your homie. Like, do you know what that does to a person? Like, that hurts.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah.
Do you find the majority of your inspiration or your content is coming from a collaborative standpoint with other people? Like, jamming out, like somebody's just playing a tune and you come up with like a riff, or do you find yourself writing and doing shit on your own?
So I don't really freestyle that much. I like to be more purposeful with the words, because it's like, I don't know, we gotten into a, like, hip hop is in a weird, really weird place right now, because before it was all like lyrics, you know, like, what are you saying and do I relate and does that feel real, you know? And then it kind of was like more like flow and just energy with the little pumps and the just
words ain't even important no more. Sound, it's just sound sometimes.
It's vibe. It's just vibe. Yeah. And then now it's more like melody based, but I'm trying to like tie everything together. So I write most of my stuff basically. Well, that's an interesting
he does
chair
want,
layout.
He wants one of
these chairs, $800 for these chairs. You could sit in them 12 different ways. They go up, down, 90 degrees.
You cannot sit in these 12 different ways.
Swear to God.
Maybe even more. Watch.
All right, where's the third way? All right, I stand corrected. All right, my bad.
Asking for like the ninth. Just nine more. Yeah. Where it goes in there, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, he flips it around once every show.
Okay, cool. About, I'm the same for mine.
16 minutes. Yeah.
Great. All right.
Do you wonder why you're on that chair?
He told me it's part of like the psychological torture.
It is. That's correct. Yeah. That's, it's like a seer training.
Yeah. Exactly.
Keep the guest posture up.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're not really into the just making noises when you make music.
Nah, I want to say some shit, and I feel like the reason like why people like are attracted to my music is because it makes them feel good.
Great.
Or if they're feeling. Or if it's like a more sad song, it makes them feel like there's hope or like they can learn something or gain something from that. Cause to me, there's two types of sad songs. There's sad songs that let you like wallow in your sadness and just kind of throw yourself a pity party. Or there's sad songs that are going to help you get better. And I want to make music that helps people get better, not feel worse or stay in a bad place.
Your music makes me feel great.
Yeah.
Thanks. Puts me in a great mood.
Yeah, very funny.
No, but all of it. Coco, you just released 1-3-2-1, which is awesome. So check this out. I want to ask you, maybe you've thought about this. How do you avoid pigeonholing yourself so far in that lane of feel good, like I don't want to call it bubblegum music, but you know what I'm saying? Because it's happened to a lot of artists in the past 3 years is they only make those like pop bangers.
Yeah.
And then get pigeonholed into only doing a certain thing. Have you considered branching out into maybe a little more feel?
So Mood and Coco are probably the two most similar songs that I've released in succession of each other. And that was just cause like, yo, this worked and it felt good.
Of course.
Let me like put a more like rap twist on it than pop, but it's still kind of like the same vibe. 3-2-1 is completely different from both of those two songs. And if you look back at like my catalog before, those songs are all different. And with the album that I'm dropping, it's got like a full spectrum of everything. Like I purposefully want to mind fuck people with every release. Like, damn, I didn't know he could do that. Like, I'm gonna drop the exclusive right now, but I got a song with Future on my project.
Let's go.
And
let's
I think
go.
That's something that people really wouldn't expect from me. Yeah. But it's like no human is just one thing. You know, we all have these dualities and these different sides of us. And I think a lot of artists are afraid to, for whatever reason, to show all the different sides. And I'm like, yo, I'm a human before I'm an artist. So my art has to be human too. It has to be reflective of all the different sides of me and all my different experiences.
I'll be interested to see, and I'm hopeful to see how long you can keep the attitude of staying true to yourself and your multifacetedness in this city. Because especially for an artist, a musical artist that is that does have a certain amount of like platformed based marketing, and you know, obviously I've gotten a lot of help from TikTok and other places, and the labels in the one ear and the platform and the audiences in the other. It'll be interesting to see how long you can keep saying, yo, nah, just because that worked, that's not who I am.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna keep doing me. Will you like, what are your biggest drivers towards staying true to yourself right now?
It's the people around me that allow me to be free and, you know, kind of explore and like bump my head and fuck up a little bit. Cause I could put a song out and it doesn't do that well, but that doesn't mean it's the end of the world, you know? It's just like, all right, well, that didn't work. Let's try something else. And when you're talking about like the city, like, oh, it's hard, bro, because everyone has a different vision of what you should be or how you could be. And it's like getting pulled in 30 million different directions sometimes, but just having like that core group of people around that are like, yo, G, being you got you here. Like, just keep being you. That helps a lot.
Wow. I've always said this. My whole life, I felt like I had a through line of happiness, regardless of my success or my failures.
What does that mean?
A through line? I've just been stable with how fulfilled I feel and how content I am with my life, regardless of whether I, you know, fuck up, make a big mistake, which I've done, or won on an extremely high level as well. It didn't really affect where I was at. And I feel that from you a little bit. Like you're very optimistic, happy-go-lucky, which I think is going to contribute a lot to your success in Hollywood. But have you ever felt a moment where you, I guess, just doubted your future or yourself?
Fuck yeah. I think any artist that says they never doubted themselves is a goddamn liar. Because, bro, this shit isn't guaranteed. Like coming from where I come from, everything that I've achieved up to this point beats the statistics, you know, like didn't go to jail, you know, didn't have no
serious problems, like the making money like I'm making now, like that is not supposed to happen statistically for someone like me. So it's like it's very easy to be like, well, am I an imposter? You know, like the whole imposter syndrome thing. And I think everybody goes through it, sometimes more than others and some people more than others. But like for the most part, I'm able to keep a level head. I like this thing.
Good.
It seems like, and just like touching on the fact that like not every single thing you put out is going to be a banger. It's not possible for that to happen, but to see you at 20, like already understanding that, because that's something that like it takes creators, some, you know, a lot of social creators too, like when they start to see view counts dip or they see a video that doesn't perform here and there, it's the end of the fucking world.
But it's fucked up because I felt that way before. Like I've been at a place where every morning I'd wake up and check my Spotify artists, and if the streams went down, I would have a way worse day. And it just kind of took some time for me to realize like, yo, I can't let my emotions be controlled by these external factors that there's nothing I can really do about it. Like all I can do is make the best music I can that represents how I feel and let the world decide whether they like it or not.
Remove yourself from the numbers. You will become happy forever.
Yeah. But it's hard though. It's really hard.
It's so hard.
And some days it feels like, oh, I don't care about that shit at all. And other days it feels like the biggest thing in the world, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine after you release Mood, hey, you're on a high, right? This song took over. I remember the first time I heard it, I was like, oh, this is a smash.
This is it.
1,000% is going to the top. I think I said it to my group. I was like, this song's amazing.
Fire. Thanks for the promo.
Yeah, of course. but after the high ends, how you follow that up?
If I'm being honest with you guys, like Mood was probably one of the most like tumultuous, challenging periods in my life, because this thing of getting a number one song, right? There's artists that have worked decades and have huge songs and huge careers that never got a number one. And here I am at 19 getting it off playing a fucking Call of Duty game. So I'm like, well, what does this mean? Like, what do I do now, you know? And I remember like, I really vividly remember, like, I just bought a car. This is my first car that I bought since I was in high school, you know? And I'm like, well, I got the number one song. I got a car. I have everything that I've been working for, or that I think I've been working for. But for some reason, I don't really feel happy, like truly happy about it. And that was like a big wake up call into like, yo, what is really important? It's the relationships that you have with the people around you that love you. And it's, you know, making stuff that you're proud of and making an impact and doing stuff that's going to change other people's lives.
So. This kid's like out here spitting crazy.
You're wise beyond your years, dude.
No. And he has said that to a number of guests, but I'm in full agreement with him today. Like you really are, and understand like the way that you put it and people should understand it is like, this is a long game. Yeah. Right. And so like all those little slip backs or like ones, like you look at the big hits, the ones that brought in all of these new people that didn't know who you were. And then the next one comes around and maybe 60% of them were there.
Yeah.
But there's, if you look at the song that came before, it's a 20% increase from the one before it. And you start to notice that, yo, the big hits just act as marketing materials for your long-term climb. And every time you pick up some more core fans.
Exactly. Because that's really like the only things that matter as artists is the music you're putting out, and does your real fans, are you growing your true fan base, and are they still fucking with you, you know? Because at the end of the day, you know, people are going to come and go when you're hot and when you're not. Yep. But it's like the true people that stick around with you and are going to love you through the good, the bad, and ugly, those are the ones that matter more than any, you know, temporary love.
Yeah.
I hate to keep going back to this one moment, but it seems so pivotal to me. Was Mood, do you think, the beginning of the career that you thought you'd always have?
No, I think it started a lot earlier than that, which is Mood is probably the first song that people heard and were able to put my face to it. But people forget I have two platinum songs before that. I had Valentino and City of Angels.
I wanted to ask about this because I was one of those people. Dog, I forgot. I was like, yo, I know this sound, because you have a very distinct sound, but from where and from what and how? And sorry, there's a little
tiny.
I kick the wire. There we go. And I was wondering why, because even when Mood was released, I think a lot of people thought that was Ian's song. Am I tripping?
I don't know.
I don't know what people think. Felt like he I felt like he got a lot of traction off of that, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess it surprised me that I hadn't heard of you until that song, because you already had a presence in music.
That was always really like I think that was probably the biggest moment of both of our careers so far, you know, because and that's some type of shit that you can't do by yourself. Like, I'm glad we did that together because that's my boy and I want to see him win too, you know? But I think it's definitely like, it was always like a weird, like a question for me, like, yo, how come I got two hit songs? Like, how come no one like knows who I am like that? And I was just like, I'm not a one hit wonder. Like, I'm not like, I'm a two hit wonder now. Like, shouldn't something be shaking or moving? But honestly, bro, it's like, I didn't get any cosigns from the beginning. It wasn't like I was part of a scene on the come up. So to develop my fan base
Andrew Schultz.
And like my recognition, we kind of just had to like build it from the bottom. And everybody's artist career is different. And that was something I had to learn to accept too. Like, I cannot compare myself to any other artist because we all had different come ups and all have different paths. So I'm just like, all right, I don't know when it's going to happen, but all I can do is just focus on what I can control, the music and like what I'm posting on social media and like putting out into the world.
In my opinion, I think the slow, steady, and then exponential growth is the healthiest.
Yep, yeah, absolutely.
I think it's the best for longevity in the industry.
Yeah.
We interrupt this program to bring you a word from our sponsors. In a tiny apartment in Southern California, two college dropouts teamed up to create a watch company that broke all the rules. With fair prices, unexpected colors, and clean original designs, Movement MVMT grew into one of the fastest growing watch brands, shipping to over 160 countries across the globe. Now Movement has expanded into blue light glasses that protect your eyes from your screens, minimalist jewelry, and more style essentials that don't break the bank, all designed out of their California head colors. I personally am going to get this one, the Starlight Black. Just a slick black, sleek color, matches with anything. They have an unbeatable price point, and they have a look and quality of a $400 to $500 watch that you're paying for at a department store, but cost a fraction of the price because they were built online and own their process from start to finish. You get a beautiful watch shipped right to your door for free. And if you don't love it, you can ship it right back for free. And the blue light glasses. So I spend obviously all day staring at my computer, and my Everscroll blue light filtering glasses are a game changer for me. They help with my eye strain, my sleeping patterns, etc. If you want to elevate your look and style that does not break the bank, then join the Movement and get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to MVMT.com/Logan. Again, that's MVMT.com/Logan. Back to the program.
So now that you're here.
Yeah. On the number one podcast in the world.
In Encino, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Life's been crazy, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Have you had a Hollywood moment?
What's a Hollywood moment?
I can't believe that this is what happened with my life. Wow, this is wild.
You were standing somewhere and all of a sudden—
overlooking the city.
Drake was doing a peg stand. Right? You know what I'm saying? Like anything, what, like—
I have like a Hollywood moment like every couple of weeks, yo. Yeah. Like I think it really hasn't set into me like— the gravity of where I'm at in my career and stuff like that yet because of the whole COVID shit. Like, imagine this. You have the number one song in the world and you can't perform it anywhere. Yeah.
We were just talking about this in the car the other day. LeRoy's popping off, right? Yeah. Someone's like, yo, he can't even tour. He can't go anywhere. And same with you. You can't flex that muscle.
No.
That sucks.
Can't even show up and perform at a club, nothing.
That's like real talk. That's the thing that drives me to like put up with all the bullshit and the politics and the Hollywood and the industry, like, because I love performing and I love seeing the look on the fans' faces when we're singing these songs together and I could tell they had been through some shit to this song or this song made their day. And like, we all have different experiences with the song, but we're like sharing that moment together. And I'm like, well, fuck, what am I even doing this for sometimes if I can't do that one thing that motivates me to do it all? But it's just like, I know that after, it's gonna be crazy.
Nuts.
It's going
to
be crazy.
It's going to be a 1950s all over again, the golden age. Yes. Like everybody's going to be coming out the house. End of prohibition type shit. I saw you at that basketball game with Jack Harlow and all those guys. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's coming back around. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, there was like probably like, there wasn't that many people there outside of the things, but I'm like, yo, I want to be outside again. Like I'm such an outside, like adventurous, like exploring type of person. Like
you go on hikes?
I've been, my mom really likes hikes, so I go on hikes with her when I go.
You've been to Runyon?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you got,
That seems like a classic.
I want to take him to Runyon today.
Let's go.
You gotta go hike Runyon, dude. That's like the LA
quintessential LA
hike. Like you always see celebrity, like A list celebrities hiking it, and there's always like Instagram girls there doing squats and shit. It's a fun joint. Great views.
You been to Coachella?
Yeah, I went to my first Coachella like the year before last. That was crazy.
Nuts, right?
He would have been performing this year.
Yeah, would you have? Did you get a
100%?
I mean, it was everything was up in the air, so I don't know, but
I have to. I mean, eventually.
Yeah.
I'm positive. Yeah. That was one of the venues or events that I was thoroughly disappointed that
got canceled.
Yeah.
Yeah, cuz that, bro, there's nothing like Coachella. Like my first time going to Coachella, like my boy got me like artist guest tickets and a Sprinter van down and
everything.
We got like the Neon Carnival passes, yeah, and I'm like, yeah, "Whoa, this is real life. Like people can actually do this. I'd never seen anything like that before."
Wild. It's our favorite time of year. Yeah. I mean, it's the one time of year that we everybody comes out from all over the world, and you know, you're rubbing elbows with Leo and Kai. Everybody's in the same spot. You know, the whole world is it converges on this one strange area of the desert.
Like the middle of nowhere. The only complaint I got about Coachella is after, like, I was like hawking up like dust loogies for like 2 weeks after.
It's part of it. It's part of the fun. And like, you know, there's some other issues. Like you can never get a ride home from, you can never find a car. Oh, you had a Sprinter.
Yeah.
So you were all set.
We was chilling.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. Burning Man, you been?
Uh-uh. No. I feel like I'm too young for that at this point. Might see some shit I'm not ready for.
They do have
That's true.
They do have babies at Burning Man, though.
That's true.
But they're not even going to remember it, good, yeah.
Right. What, have you heard stories about Burning Man?
Yeah, it's just like everyone's naked and like doing drugs and fucking everywhere.
Yo,
like,
there's a thing called the Thunderdome. Mm. The Thunderdome. Two people are strapped in this giant dome to bungee cords and they give each other fucking bats. And by the way, mind you, everyone's fucked up. Acid, psychedelics, Molly, like every drug via every person, and you can climb up on it like the Thunderdome, and everyone just like some real
like gladiator
Mad Max shit, and they just send these people at each other and they beat the shit out of each other with these bats and batons.
But
and
that also
sounds kind of fun.
Well, it's especially when you're on psychedelics. Like, it's a lot of fun. So, something to consider.
But they also have huge orgies there, like whole tents.
I mean, yo, I'm just scratching the surface.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But I was just gonna parlay it into: have you ever had an orgy since you've been in Hollywood or not?
Well, we gonna save that for the next episode. I'll tell that story.
Fair enough. I gotta ask, bro. You know, I gotta ask.
But speaking of that, is there a best part about success? Girls, cars, money? The fact that you make people smile? You can take this any direction you want, dude. You want to be wholesome? Go for it.
I mean, like, yeah, the girls, the cars, like that shit is cool as fuck. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, but that's not like the driving motivating factor, and it's never been. Like, I think the fact that I could like literally change people's days or weeks or lives just by like responding to an Instagram DM or taking a photo with somebody, like I get DMs like, yo, your music saved my life. And I'm like, fuck. Like, I know how that feels because I've listened to artists and been like, damn, this music is saving my life right now. Yeah, so it's like, to be able to do that same shit for somebody else is fire. But don't get me wrong, I love all the extra shit too, but I just try not to get caught up in it.
I feel that so much. Cause I always looked at like Cuddy and like people like that. Like, those are the people that like, when I was at my darkest shit, you know, saved me. And then I hear people be like, yo, like your book, whatever, like made me feel that way. Like, that's always completely trumps all the other shit.
Yeah. It's really, it's really, really cool when your art transcends just your own aspirations and can affect other people in that way.
Cause like, think about all the artists that you grew up listening to that inspired you to be in this point today, and how you are going on to inspire other kids to get to whoever the next, what XYZ is in 20 years. Like, it's a cycle of inspiration.
Of course.
It's dope to be a part of it.
I had this conversation with someone recently. I've been able to meet my idols, the ones who inspire me to start YouTube. Like, they've made jokes about it before. It's Smosh back in the day. It was like,
I remember him, yeah.
Duck, they were the reason I began YouTube. And Jake too. And they, you know, I'm sorry. and I remember going up to him. I was like, yo, you're the guy. You're the reason that I started doing this thing. I'm waiting for that moment where someone comes up to me and they're like, yo, I started because of you. And they're, you know, becoming this thing.
What do you mean you're waiting for that?
What do you mean?
All day, every day people say that.
I'm talking about like someone.
They're not popping enough.
Someone makes it.
Some like, serious waves. And like, bro, I could be 40. Have you had a moment with an idol or someone that inspired you growing up?
Like my biggest idols I haven't met yet. The Kanye's, the Drake. Actually, I met one of my pretty big idols, A$AP Rocky, in January. Yeah. And like, bro, like,
I didn't say this to him, obviously, because I, you know, I was trying to play it cool. But like my Instagram name for a long time was ASVP Golden, and I just like I was like, yeah, I'm gonna be ASAP Mob one day, and you know that never ended up happening. But when we meet, like we freestyle back and forth with each other for like 20 minutes, and like he was like, yo, I like your whole swag, kid. Like I like your energy, everything you got going on, and I'm like, bro, like, this is Rocky right here telling me this. Like this man is bagged up Rihanna, and he sees something in me. Like that's just dope. Validation that I'm like doing the right thing and going down the right path. But until I meet like Drake and Kanye, those are like the last few ones on my bucket list for sure. Bruno yeah. Mars too, probably.
ASAP's a good start, bro. I mean, like, bro, there's no swaggier man than Rocky, bro.
Yeah, probably. Like, I'll just put it out there and say no swaggier human being.
I don't think there is, bro. Yeah. I don't think there
is. It could be truth. But eventually, you know, you're going to get to a point where you're going to tell him that.
Yeah.
Tell him that you had the Instagram account.
Yeah. I, you know, once we got to just get a couple more hangs in there. But I don't know. I'm a little bit scared to meet some of my idols, too, because, you know, people say like, yo, don't meet your idols. It's going to disappoint you. Or now I'm at the place where some of my idols are my rivals and stuff like that. Like. And that's kind of scary too, because I'm like, nah, don't be mad at me for like blocking you from the number one. Like, I'm sorry. Like, can we be friends? You know,
that's crazy.
That's so funny, dude.
I think a lot of artists are cool. I'll go ahead and say it. Like musicians, anyways, especially if you're speaking to them as a peer.
Yeah.
Like, I think that saying "don't meet your idols" may apply to, you know, the layman, the average person, because who knows how a celebrity is going to react when you go up to them.
True.
But if you're coming to them, you know, eye to eye as someone else who's done it and has garnered their respect, you'll be good.
But even, yeah, I feel like you're right, but I'm still kind of iffy on that, because like, I think most of the situations where I would meet those people, like I didn't get to experience because of COVID, you know, the award shows and the stuff like that. So in my mind, I'm still like, I still see myself as just like, yo, I'm Golden Landis Von Jones. Like, I got these big songs, but like, I don't understand how people
quarantine
perceive
kept
me
you
fully
humble.
Yet. Yeah,
kept
basically,
you humble.
Yeah.
Well, no, bro. I mean, even our interaction, saw you. I was like, oh, bro, I fucking know this kid. I'm not going to act like, you know, I don't know his music or anything. And it was a peer-to-peer interaction, and it worked. Bro, people know you.
Yeah.
And if anyone tries to big up you or act like they don't, like, fuck off.
They probably won't. That's so lame. They probably won't either, though. Like, the majority... Like he said, for the most part, like, artists out there are cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, because there's a lot of genres that you could fake being cool. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, music's not really one of them, bro. Like, if you, like, there's some people out there who really fake the funk, like, in a major way. But, like, for the most part, if you're putting out dope music, you got a dope image. Like, you got a lot of dope qualities. You're probably a dope person in real life. Yeah. You know? And so, like, all the people that I've met from the music scene have been really fucking cool. I don't think anybody's going to come up to you and be like, oh, no, sorry, I don't know who you are.
True, yeah. No one's been, like, a total dick. But it's just, like, that little voice in the back of your head. It's like, ah, what if, you know?
You got no beefs yet?
Not as far as I know. No, I don't know. Hopefully, no one's out there beefing with me.
The Drake sighting is. Have you been in the same room as? Yeah,
but it was like way before any like songs were like popping up crazy like that.
We were at a party one time and he came in and I look at him the same kind of same way you do. I'm not in music, but fucking goat, right? And he's a big motherfucker, dude. Like now, especially like he bulked up a lot.
Drake thick now.
In a good way. Yeah. And so when he walked in the room, like it's almost like, you know, maybe he's like 6'1", mm-hmm. but when you see him, he's like 7'2".
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like he just got that air about him that you're just like, oh damn, that like that's fucking Drake.
It's the presence. Like Young Thug is another person like that.
Oh yeah.
That man is just like so legendary. And he could be so nice, but it's still like, yo, this motherfucker's like 6'4", and there's like he's Young Thug, you know? It's like there's a certain air of presence that comes with
that. Well, Future's a big dude too, right?
Yeah, he's pretty tall.
There was a time in Hollywood, and you would hear about this growing up, where the celebrities, the biggest ones in the world, were shorter, right? Like, you know, 5'3", like how tall is Tom Cruise? I would always hear this back in Ohio.
Yeah.
You know, Tom Cruise is 5'4", and I'm like, wow, I have a chance. You're tall, right? You're like 5'11", 6 foot?
I'm like 6'1", 6'2". But everyone thinks I'm shorter on Instagram.
I thought you were too.
Yeah. It's like, that's like one of like, when people meet with us first time, they're like, oh damn, you're taller than I thought you'd be.
And we
like,
get that all.
How do I gotta angle my pictures to like change this narrative, you know?
No, it's tough, but it's good because in real life, you know, you're this larger than life entertainer, and then you take up a lot of space physically as well. So I remember the first time I saw Elon Musk, this dude is like, I think he's like 6'4".
Oh, damn. Yeah, I thought he was shorter, too. Yeah,
he's 6'4". He looked 7'7". And he took up the whole aisle. He had a big trench coat on. I was like, what the fuck? That's Elon fucking Musk.
Where'd you see him at?
It was underground, the Staples Center for a UFC fight.
Damn.
You ever think you could do a collab with Elon Musk?
I would love to be. I would love to be the first artist to get a SpaceX deal. Like, let me shoot a music video in space and fuck it.
You know that'd be crazy. You know who almost had that?
Who?
Lady Gaga.
That makes sense.
Lady Gaga almost did the first performance in space via Virgin Galactic.
Oh, like the ones that go up into the... Like,
it would just have gone around.
Got it.
And
the whole Earth?
Sorry. It would have gone into the atmosphere, not the moon, obviously, but not the Earth. Space.
Yeah.
The occupants would have watched Lady Gaga perform in space floating around. Like, I don't know how that would work. But one of the, side note, one of the ships during testing crashed. And that whole operation.
That would have been a tragedy.
It was $250,000 for a ticket. Would you?
Yeah, well, I've seen those. There's ones where you could go up into space and get that zero grav experience.
This is space.
Space.
Virgin Galactic, not Virgin Airlines.
Wait, hold on a sec. Because I was actually, ironically, with our last guest thinking about this yesterday. Would you pay, like, a large amount of money to go to the moon? Like, I mean, like, and I don't mean go into space. Like, how much would you pay to go to the fucking moon? Like, they're like, yo, we're going to have you come up and perform your new single.
You could be the first one, but it's going to cost you.
I'm gonna let them say the number first and negotiate down from there.
Smart. Yeah. This kid gets it, dude. Let it. That's a smart play. Let them toss it out.
Yeah. Find some brand sponsors. You know, get the whole thing comped.
I love it, dude.
Damn. It needs to happen.
I would love to. That's like my dream.
Your name.
Yes.
How?
So, my real name is Golden, like Golden Landis Fine Jones.
That's your real name?
That's my birth name.
Oh, okay.
Birth certificate, everything.
All right.
But so I was born in the year 2000, as we discussed before. Yep. And on the Chinese zodiac calendar, that is the year of the golden dragon. And there's a dragon year every 12 years, but every 60 years is a special golden dragon. So everyone born in 2000, whether you know it or not, is a golden dragon. And growing up in San Francisco, you know, there's a lot of Chinese culture and heritage there. And my dad, some of his friends and coworkers, like, oh, you got a golden dragon baby. That's lucky. Maybe you should name him Golden. And my dad was like, that ain't a bad idea at all, you know? Yeah. And he went and he told my mom, and she was like, no, there's no way we're do that. Kids are going to make fun of him. They're going to call him Goldilocks. They're going to call him Golden Showers. Like, we can't do that. And my dad was like, no, you're tripping. Don't worry so much. Like, that's a good name. And she was like, all right, I'll think about it. And my dad, like, as like meditation, you know, therapeutic, he liked to drive by the beach and watch the sunset because, you know, right in San Francisco, we got the beautiful ocean beach. And he was driving by one day looking out over the sunset and he turned the radio on and this song, The Golden Time of Day, came on. And he was looking over the sunset and it was like the most beautiful golden colored sunset that he had ever seen. And he's not one to ignore the signs. So he told my mom, like, yo, this shit just happened. These are the signs. We got to name him Golden. And she was like, okay, fine. And boom, it kind of was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Holy That's awesome.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But 24 carats? So many carats.
A lot of carats. It's the most carats.
And by the way, are you wearing jewelry? Okay.
This is right. 24K right here.
Go. Okay, fire.
This is the El Dorado Quetzalcoatl chain, actually. But
oh, that's tight.
So in the jewelry world, like, you know, there's 14K, 18K, 24 carats is the most pure you can get. Like, that's 24 out of 24 gold. And me being an artist, like, at first, you know, I was going by ASVP gold. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to get a cease and desist eventually. I can't do that. So then I dropped it and I was just golden. And golden was too hard to find. Like, you search up golden on YouTube, you get fucking Golden State Warriors highlights. You get Golden Dragon Chinese
Mr. Beast
restaurant.
Mr. Beast eats golden taco. Like,
exactly. Yeah. You get, it was bad for SEO. So right. I'm like, all right, let me figure out what else I can do. And I'm big into jewelry. I was big into jewelry. And I'm like, well, if 24 carats is the most pure form of gold and me being an artist and making art is the most pure form of golden, I should just be 24K golden. And then I went to go put it in on Instagram and somebody already had the name taken. So I had to drop the E and that's why there's no E.
Wait, hold on a second. Now you're talking about phonetics.
Well, you searched that. I have to say, you probably are the only rapper in the world that considered SEO purposes when like, bro, that is
when
why
he said SEO.
That is why he cannot
search
lose.
Engine optimization. Yes. Considers what's going to pop up when you search Google.
Nah, dude, like you can't lose at that point. If you're in the digital age, considering SEO before you name yourself, you already won. You already won, dog. It's over, bro.
You see?
Okay.
That was my senior picture right there.
Right here?
Yeah.
Hey, that's fantastic.
That was actually your picture.
Yeah, I never paid for it, but that was the
picture. Wait, the water fucking marks are still on it.
Order now.
Incredible.
I might get a cease and desist for that.
No way. All right. So cool, bro. And you got a watch on?
Oh, yeah, right here.
Well, what's on that one?
This is some bracelets.
Oh, okay. Oh, nice, bro.
Have you seen this? The Bitcoin watch?
What?
Here, check it out.
What brand is it?
Frank Mueller.
I saw it at first. I was like, is that fucking Richard Mille on his wrist?
You got Bitcoin?
I got a couple here and there.
You do any other crypto investing?
I'm a big Dogecoin enthusiast for sure.
No way.
Come on, man.
Why?
Because I was on it like on like the Reddit forums and stuff like that, like before it was even 1 cent, you know? So I got in hella early. Oh. It's just like the people's currency. It's the meme currency. It's the currency of the internet. Bitcoin and all this shit, it's cool. But I think it's... It's cool.
You went the whole opposite way. It's cool.
It's all right, but Dogecoin.
But you know, it's that one is going to be the more like mainstream currency. Like financial institutions are messing with it.
Let me ask you something.
What?
You know, any amount of Dogecoin can be minted at any moment in time.
What does that mean?
Like they can just make more.
Cool.
What? No, not cool. Because they can completely deflate your investment because they can just create as many as they want.
Why would they
want
to do that?
So they can steal your money.
Who's they?
The Dogecoin creators,
man,
who made it as a joke. It wasn't meant to be a thing.
I got faith in the people, okay. Man.
Regardless, it has no utility. It's not an actual thing. It's not.
You're right. None of this shit had any purpose before.
I'm with you. Yeah. Doge to the moon. I'm a holder, bro. I'm not saying I'm not. What I am saying is, I don't know. Like, you're starting to see massive institutions and companies get behind Bitcoin and Ethereum.
Yeah.
Because they know it's like an actual, like, chain-based solution to finance and currency, right? Dogecoin is like a ton of fun.
It's almost like they
created a currency out of fun.
Yeah.
They're like, fun? Invest in this coin.
I'm like, I like fun, why not? You know?
You're lucky, man. I didn't have good financial advisors or mentors until I was like maybe 23.
Well, you used to want to be a hedge fund manager. I thought I was going to be a hedge fund manager.
No way.
Yeah. Like that was my whole like plan. Like I got a full scholarship to USC to study business.
What?
And because one of like my mom's friends, like our family friend, like from a kid, I didn't grow up with a lot of money at all. Like I'm from one of the most wealthy cities in America, San Francisco, but I grew up in one of the like least wealthy parts, areas, you know? Yeah. So I got to see a lot of wealth, but not experience it. Mm. And that drove me to be hungry to, you know, do something to change my lifestyle and my family's lifestyle. But one of our like family friends was a hedge fund manager and I loved going over to their house. Like I was like, yo, this shit is dope. Like I want this for me and my family. And I never met anybody that achieved that type of success before. So I was like, all right, I'm a smart kid. Like I can do whatever I put my mind to. This is what I'm going to do. But I remember when I was like 15, I got my ears pierced and I went over to their house and he was like, yo, let me tell you something, bro. Like, just being honest with you, like, me personally, I have no problem against your ear piercing, but you're already a black kid trying to break into this, like, very, you know, classist and, like, kind of fucked up industry. Like, they're looking for any reason to disqualify you. And if you have your ears pierced, that's someone can write you off as, you know, whatever without even fully understanding you. So I was like, at that point, like, I don't want to work a job where I can't be myself, where I can't express myself. Yeah. And then, so that became kind of like the backup plan. And when I went to USC for business, I was just like, all right, I'm gonna study this shit. I'm gonna learn as much as I can. And it'll probably help me somewhere in my artist career.
It will.
Yeah.
You could still do that down the line.
Yeah. I mean, sure. I didn't even fully drop out. Like I got to leave absent so I can go back whenever I want.
No fucking way. How long you go for?
Like a year.
You finished.
That's happened a lot. And I feel like it's any second gonna happen to mine too.
I'm sturdy over here.
You finished your first year?
Well, all right. So this is how I played it.
Well,
first semester, you know, I got like a 3.56, whatever, rapper and student at the same time. Second semester, I got signed already, so I had money, and I tried to like finish off the year strong, but at a certain point I was just like, fuck bro, I can't be a incredible student and an incredible artist at the same time.
Yeah, it's hard.
I gotta pick one, but I didn't have enough money that I could just be like, all right, let me just go ball out on a crazy crib and whatever now. So I dropped all my classes except this one class that was like called Link, Learn About International Commerce. And you go to the class once a week for 2 hours. And at the end of the semester, you get to go travel to the country that you learned about. So I was like, all right, I still get to live on campus for free. I still get to eat all the cafeteria food for free. Mm-hmm. I just got to go to this one class. And at the end of the semester, I get a free trip too. So it was kind of like a win on every front, you know?
I know what's so funny about that?
What?
That's how I look at this podcast.
What do you mean?
I'm like, if I just keep doing this podcast, I get to live in this house for free at the end of the semester. I'm kidding, man. I love you so much. I'm just playing. I'm playing. What was your country going
to
be? I went to
Japan. I got to go to Tokyo. And that was my first time out of the country.
Nice, had a lot of fun there.
Yeah, but it was good.
That shit was like being in a Pokemon game and like being in the future at the same time.
Great place. We would love to go there anytime soon as possible. Yeah,
have you been before?
Oh, man.
Oh, is this a sore subject?
No.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Hey, you know, let me tell you something. It's inspiring to see like how bad you fucked up, but you're still here. That just makes me feel a lot better whenever I fuck up.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, honestly, if that's like the takeaway and that's what I was put on this earth to do in one regard, mm-hmm. to teach people that you can quite literally shoot yourself in the foot.
Yeah.
And half of your face off and still come back.
Yeah.
Like, so be it. Like, if I got to be the beacon,
dog,
so be it.
That is the biggest lesson you ever learn in life. And trust me, there's nothing that the audience, that the people want to see more and can relate to more. Because most of the people out there are going through shit. Most of the people out there are suffering. Most of the people are in some way, whether mental, you know, financial, whatever. And like that idea of having a downfall and then a trajectory back up is like, that's everything, yo. That's what inspires people more than anything else.
The comeback is like so much, like the come up is very inspiring, but the comeback, that shit is like, damn, you was up and down and back up again. Like,
well, cause yo, that's crazy. When you're at that rock bottom, it's only up from there.
True.
Like I had noticed I am actually more excited for my failures than I am my wins. Mm. I don't really care about my wins anymore. Bro, I was told I was fighting Floyd Mayweather. Very excited. Cool, right? But like after the moment, I go back to just doing whatever the fuck I'm doing. When you fuck up and fail on a level like that, mm-hmm. you have to reevaluate. And with that reevaluation comes positive change, comes a new you, potentially a new identity, new goals, aspirations, and a way to get there. And that's fun.
So
that's
the
exciting shit.
What were some of like the growth and lessons you feel like you learned from that?
God. So many. So the analogy I use is... somewhere in my life, I hit a fork in the road,
mm-hmm.
and I went down the wrong path.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was like my intentions were wrong. I was letting the wrong motives fuel me. Whatever it was, I just like, I don't know. I couldn't see what was happening.
Yeah.
And I just had to reverse my life. And I did so by trying everything, listening to people, talking to people around me, bringing him on board. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't have a mentor or a big brother. I'm the big brother.
Yeah.
And so, I just started listening to people around me and to the world and being a real student of the environment and it changed me in a way where I'm really happy with the person that I became and am becoming still to this day because you know it's all a work in progress.
Facts.
It's so funny the guests that come on this podcast. I think it's two or three now. They're like, "Have you been to Tokyo?"
Like, yeah. We love it. It's so funny.
I mean, that says something too that like it wasn't that long ago and most people kind of forgot that already.
Well, I think I'll go ahead and say I've given them a decent amount of reasons to forget. And it's not like I'm trying to make them forget. Like it's an important pivotal part of my journey. And, you know, I'm all for taking accountability for my actions, like in the past, present and future.
Yeah.
And I'm here to acknowledge the growth that it helped me do and move on. Keep on trucking, man.
Respect.
Cause of course. Respect. Cause honestly, as long as you, it's so cliche. If you don't give up, it's really hard to stop you.
Yeah.
Like if you're fucking relentless and refusing to let other people tell you who they think you are when they don't know you.
Yeah.
It's going to be really hard to stop that person who abides by that.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with me.
Man, I'm inspired already, man. Thank you for real.
I could tell you ain't gonna make no mistakes though.
No. Everybody makes mistakes. Don't paint me to be this superhero, because when I fuck up, you know, it's gonna happen eventually.
You grew up in an era where, correct me if I'm wrong, where what you had people like me making the first round of mistakes, cancel culture just blooming, blossoming, whatever. You kind of got a good idea of what was wrong and what was right from social, because. Correct? Or?
I would say for the most part, like me, I definitely read into things more than the average person, but there's a lot of people out there that get attention for doing things that aren't necessarily right too. So just as there's people that are seeing something wrong and being like, oh, I shouldn't do that, there's also going to be those kids out there that are seeing like, damn, this shit got 100 million views. I'm going to go do that. You know, it all just kind of depends on how you interpret it.
I guess what I'm saying is like social media, I think, decreased ignorance.
Yeah, it's just more information out there.
Exactly. Yeah. I was ignorant as fucking hell growing up. Because, I mean, no offense to my parents, but there's a lot of things they didn't tell me.
Yeah.
And a lot of things that I just didn't know. And now social media, even just listening to this podcast or any podcast, which didn't exist 10 years ago, so much information, so many things to learn from. And you definitely grew up in that generation where, like, when you were in high school, I'm sure you had Instagram and...
Yeah.
YouTube.
I like Instagram since like seventh grade or something.
That's crazy to me. That's crazy. I got senior high school, my friends forced me to get it because I was just on Vine.
Yeah.
Did the likes affect you at all?
Probably less than most people, but it's now like, I don't know, a lot of the things that didn't bother me before started bothering me more once I got more money and fame and stuff like that, which is kind of backwards, you know, because you think like, well, you didn't have anything before, so it shouldn't bother you as much now. But I don't know. It's something weird that happens. And it's like I remember there was time, like if I didn't hit the 10% engagement rule on Instagram, I'm like, oh, I'm fucking up. Like, what am I doing wrong? And I kind of just had to readjust and reframe and be like, yo, if one person sees this post and it brings joy to them or it teaches them something or it inspires them, that's what really matters. Not the satisfaction I'm getting from making some, you know, beating something in the algorithm. Like, fuck with that.
You know, what's, cause we talk about this a lot of the time, especially having like creators on the show, but you said it was funny how once you got money and you got fame and all that stuff, like you started caring about the social metrics more, which seems backwards. But in actuality, that's when those metrics started to be the most important to you, because that's what fucks with your bag, bro. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so like all those views, all those listens, all those downloads, all those likes, all that shit is part of the same engine that pays you.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, once for me at least, when something starts fucking with my money, then I got to pay attention to it. You know what I'm saying? And so like, it's not really that odd to start caring more once you go into the industry of social media to make a living off of, you know what I'm saying? Or artistry.
It's like this toxic cycle though, you know?
It's gross. It's toxic. So gross.
It's
toxic, bro.
But it's part of the game. And it's like, yo, you're not going to be a successful artist or creator or whatever these days without having a social media following. Like,
except the ones who can. Wild.
Think about what artists or people have come up in the last 5 years without using social media.
Kendrick Lamar?
No, he came up in 2012. Ocean? Frank Ocean came up in like 2013.
Talking about new.
I'm talking about years, in the last 4 years, because 2017 is even way different, you know, landscape than it is now on social media. Like, I think Playboi Carti is the last mysterious artist that's going to be that level of successful.
But even those artists, without, you may say like, you know, Kendrick or Cole or whatever was without social, Cole obviously further back, but like Kendrick, for example, like, well, who knows what he was aided by on Reddit posts and Facebook, you know what I'm saying?
But like, it wasn't coming from him though, necessarily.
Right, correct.
Nowadays, correct. You can't just be an artist. You have to be a creator. You have to be a TikToker. You have to be a YouTuber, or at least that's what it feels like.
There's a reason why Bill Gates puts videos out. You know what I'm saying? Like, you think Bill Gates gives a shit what anybody fucking think, but he's making content.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think, I don't know if Bezos does, but like,
nah,
you know,
he got too much bread. He don't give a fuck about nothing.
But even like Elon, right? For example, Elon doesn't really, he don't have to say shit.
I like how Elon plays with it though, because he's having
it works
fun.
For him, and it's boosting his, every time he makes a wave, it boosts projects he's working on. So everybody is harnessing the power of social media.
But I think if he didn't have as much money as he had right now, he probably would be a lot more careful and like scared of like what to post, because there's this weird like in between period of like starting to get money and being like filthy rich.
It's called
like,
it's called fuck you money.
Yeah,
Elon has fuck you money. He could say whatever he wants, whenever he wants, to his investors, to his shareholders, to whoever the fuck he wants, and he does it.
Yeah,
Elon, don't tell people that you're taking the company private again. He'll say whatever he wants. Doesn't care about SEC. He's said so many things about going private, public, this, doing that, doing. Yeah. And his advisors say, yo, don't do this. And he does whatever the fuck he wants because he has fuck you money.
Yeah.
You know, and the how much money that equates to being fuck you money changes by the, like, who knows what it's going to be tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, now it's like a billion. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy.
I don't even think you need like a billion, but like
a couple hundred.
Like, I mean, even 20 million is like, You can if you put your money aside the right way, you can live a very comfortable lifestyle for the rest of your life and still provide for your kids.
For sure.
Like the best analogy I like to say is like, you know, in the game 21, the basketball game, right? How you get points. And once you get past like 13 or whatever, you can't go below 13. But if you're at 12, bro, you can lose it all, you know, and it's being at that, you know, 10 to 12 range. That's the scariest because you're up so much, but you can have it all kind of crumble away at any moment's notice. It feels like.
Yeah, you're right. If you get to a certain point in life, like you rolled over into some modest investments, you're Gucci.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like you got 20 mil, you pull 8% on it annually, you're 8-10%. That's a million and a half a year, dog. Of just all your living expenses, everything that you got to pay for. So that's the way you think about things, bro, is you are fucking way ahead of your age, bro.
I'm just here to spill the sauce that was spilled on me and keep it going.
Crazy.
I got a game, dude. We do games in this show. It's called More Than 240.
Oh.
Okay, so that's the character limit on Twitter, right? So these are some of the tweets that you've tweeted. And I'm just gonna pick your brain. I want to know what you meant.
All right, let's go.
All right, here we go. Maybe I don't want to belong to the streets anymore.
You know, I was hoping you brought this one up because this is something I want to address. Look, I've said on numerous occasions, I belong to the streets. I belong to the streets. And, you know, that's more of like a defense mechanism than anything because, yeah, like I don't have a girlfriend, whatever, but it's hard, bro. Like my days are so packed that I feel like I don't have the time and emotional capacity to really give somebody and to be the best boyfriend that I could possibly be.
Join the club, man.
You know? Yeah, we know.
And
impossible.
I'm scared of being hurt too, bro. It's a lot easier to be in the streets than it is to like, if you do find the time or make the time to give it to this one person and then they hurt you, bro, y'all know that shit hurts.
Yeah.
And I'm scared. I'm honestly scared as fuck of being hurt. And I'm scared of losing, you know, something that I had. So it's like, if I never had it in the first place, then I can't lose it. But now I'm kind of getting to this point where it's like, I'm kind of tired of just the meaningless encounters and stuff like that. Like I want someone with some substance.
Yeah. Good luck, man.
Yeah.
You're in LA. Also, I was going to say this. You, there's no way you fuck with girls your age or get along with and can have those captivating conversations.
Yeah.
I'm just saying you're talking like a fucking 30-year-old.
Yeah,
dude.
I get along better with older women for sure.
Yeah. All right.
But a lot of older women are like scared to like fuck with a 20-year-old too, you know?
Absolutely. Because girls like older guys. You know what I'm saying? And that puts you in a really rough spot because the only thing younger than you that's legal is 18.
Yeah.
So you only get 18, 19. That's it.
Yeah.
But anyways, don't be scared to get vulnerable. If George was with us today, our poor fallen Mike co-host over there.
Where is he? It's been like an hour.
He never responded.
Dog, I'm gonna be honest. I don't think people told him. Yeah, I don't think anybody told him. It's pretty fucked up.
Okay.
But what he would say, I will channel his good Christian energy over here, and I will say, don't be scared to get vulnerable, but unlike other people, just take it slow.
Yeah.
Feel the chick out. Make sure she's down to ride for you, like really, like not on some like clout or like fame type shit, because the city is wacky.
Yeah.
But don't be scared because yo, also like if you've been through some shit, like you're gonna survive a breakup.
What's your like test? Like what are your like criteria for you guys that like, all right, this girl is solid. She's not just another clout chaser.
I made a list. You have a list?
I don't have a list. I need to work on one.
Girlfriend
apparently.
Qualities. It's like 14. Pretty much impossible to actually.
Yeah, his is
totally his unrealistic.
As long as you have like 7, you're good, huh?
No, right? Yeah.
All right, let me hear the list.
All right. All right, I'm glad you asked.
Yeah.
I think it's important.
Okay, here we go. Girlfriend qualities. Wit.
Wit. Okay, she got a little banter. She needs to have some banter.
Like, fuck with me, you know what I'm saying? Confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
Opinionated.
Mm.
Empathetic.
Mm.
Self-aware. Big one. Active listener. Obviously, sexual deviant.
Yes.
Needs important.
Great.
Talented.
Yeah.
I'm attracted to talent. Worldly. Foresight. Insightful. Attractive.
Do you feel like you have all these qualities?
Some 100%, others absolutely fucking not.
Yeah.
Like I'm totally unrealistic.
Yeah. I mean, you got, I mean, good.
This is crazy.
He's missing two. And they're the only two on my list.
Mm. Empathetic and attractive.
Loyal.
Yeah.
Loyalty. That's the biggest. And I just got a relationship with a really loyal person. That sucks. But the other one is, and I'm not saying this about my past one, but not a fucking lunatic.
Yeah.
Bro, in all honesty, dog.
That's a big one. That's a big
dog.
It
needs to be number fucking one.
A fucking lunatic.
Because, bro, before you check that box, none of that other shit matters.
Yeah.
Like, if she ever pulls a blade out on you, it don't matter how empathetic she is, dog. It just don't matter because she got a knife in her fucking hand.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, yo, number one, first thing you got to ask yourself after you're with a chick for like a couple weeks, is this girl a fucking psychopath? And if you can't say no to that question, you got to walk.
Okay.
You got to walk.
I'm taking notes.
Yo, the loyalty one, I'm still going to, I got to push back a bit. That seems like a given to me. Mm. That like that.
Well, but it should be included. But hold on. First of all, absolutely fucking
no,
not.
No, because.
It should. Yes, it should be. It should be. But dog, don't even fucking tell me that your first girl in this city was fucking loyal.
I didn't know. I was 19.
Yeah, exactly. And we're talking to a 20-year-old. So I gotta tell him.
Yeah. Man. I got fucking played.
Yeah,
man.
but also even a lot of times, there's a lot of people out there who think they got loyal chicks and don't. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like a lot of things on there, some of them you can't even really fully know until you're dating this person.
Facts.
Or like spending that time with them.
Every person reveals more and more about themselves the deeper you get into their personality. And it's crazy because the more layers you peel back, you find out, oh, this is a really interesting, complex, dynamic human being. I love this person. Yeah. Or you peel back the layers and you start to notice the layers are getting a little bit thinner and there's not much more and the substance ends at a certain level. Mm. And that's really also demotivating.
Yeah.
But that's why the art of it is moving slow. And if you talk to older women, they're not pushing you. Like, what are we conversation, as you get into your late 20s, starts to just fade away.
Yeah.
What are we? Or like, you didn't text me back by this time. Or like, we need this amount of hours per... It's just two people just vibing, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Feeling it out. If it feels good, you take another step. If it feels bad, you take a step back. Like, you're going to have to go through some mud before you get to those mature relationships, unless you start talking to chicks that are 28, 29 years old. You know what I'm saying?
Man, it's like... I'm looking forward to it, but I know it's going to be kind of like hell, too. Well, that's life, huh?
That's it.
Next up. You know how hard it is to not give a fuck.
Real shit. I mean, bro, it's hard to not give a fuck, especially because everyone has an opinion. And what's crazy about the internet is like every comment weighs the same basically on the internet. Like you could leave if you didn't have a blue check or whatever, like. And you left a comment saying like, yo, nice shirt. And someone else is like, yo, that's the worst fucking shirt I ever seen. It's like equal, basically. I don't know that the second person like has no job and is a loser and like does like just fucks off their days all day. So everyone has like the same amount of voice on the internet. And that could be a good thing or a bad thing. So there's so many opinions out there that it's like, and me trying to be a self-reflective person and doing what you said, listening to the world, it's hard because at a certain point you can't listen to everything that they say. So that's just something I'm working on, just trying to like give a fuck, but also like give a fuck about what matters the most and not give a fuck about the stuff that doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to touch on it for one second.
Touch it.
We look at things on this topic a little bit different. He does like to crowdsource feedback. I personally am big on just generals.
Yeah.
Like, yo, these are my people. If somebody on the internet says, yo, you have a big note, like, I know that, first of all. Like, y'all fucking tell me.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't give a fuck what these mother... Like, anybody. Like, if he says, yo, great show, And like that was one of your best shows, and 100,000 people are like, yo, he was really annoying, like whatever. My homie, my fellow creator, one of the best in the fucking business, said, yo, great fucking show.
But for me, that's so hard to accept. Like, how can his, like, if 100,000 people are saying something like, fuck, how am I not? It's a lot of people, man.
I feel you. I feel you. But especially when it's like, okay, always look at, always understand that if 2 million watch it, and 1,000 leave comments, and all the 1,000 comments are liking each other's comments. We don't like this person. The other 1.9 million that watch every single week in and week out, yeah, they ain't leaving comments. They're just normal people just enjoying entertainment and then going on in their merry way.
Shout out Tina Wildcat.
Yeah, shout out Tina Wildcat. I don't even know what that means.
Again, shout out Tina Wildcat.
Yeah, but just like learn who you really need to listen to, or gotcha, you already know that, I think.
We're learning.
I could never trust a...
Don't say it.
I could never trust a with a big beard. Like, bro, what are you hiding?
A guy.
I can never trust a jigger with a big beard.
Oh, I see what's happening.
What? Like, bro, what are you hiding? Yeah, I mean, yours isn't big enough to be distrustworthy. But like, as raw as James Harden is, you know, I'm a fan for PF Harden. I'm a fan, but like, what's underneath there, bro? Yeah. That you've been keeping on lock for 10 years, bro? Like. Show yourself. Reveal yourself.
Lately, it might be a cheeseburger or some shit. What's going on? He's been just...
No, I ain't going to body shame.
No. As a fellow dad bod, I can do it. You know what I'm saying? Because he rocking the dad bod hard right now, dog. But they're in style.
Yeah, facts.
Yeah.
All right, bro. That's all we got today. All
right.
Yeah, bro. That was lit. Your album's coming out March 26th?
March 26th, El Dorado.
Very cool, bro. Very cool. Keep a lookout for that. We'll put the link in the description when it's out. But yeah, appreciate you coming on Impulsive, man.
My pleasure, guys.
Yeah, for real.
Great fucking show.
This is a great talk.
Yeah. We'll have you back on when we're all older, and it'll be awesome.
I'll be so old. The recap episode. No, like,
for real. We'll be 40 years old, man. I'll be doing this shit forever.
Well, you're about to be 40 like next week, right?
Thank you for listening to this episode of Impulsive. Hit that subscribe button. We love you. We'll see you next time. Take it easy. Peace.
Stay golden.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.